Hey, good morning, everyone. Welcome to EMP. Let's get started. My name is Thaddeus, and I'm from Robin Hood House Church. Today, I'll be leading you through the devotional from day 42 of the One Lent devotional series. So let's start with the opening prayer. Dear Heavenly Father, as I contemplate Gethsemane, I give you the times in my life when I feel deserted and alone. During these times, Lord, I need your presence more than ever. Help me at all times to follow the example of Christ. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So now we will watch a video that will take us through Mark chapter 14, verse 53 to 72.
And they led Jesus to the high priest, and all the chief priests and the elders and the scribes came together. And Peter had followed him at a distance right into the courtyard of the high priest, and he was sitting with the guards and warming himself at the fire. Now the chief priests and the whole council were seeking testimony against Jesus to put him to death, but they found none. For many bore false witness against him, but their testimony did not agree. And some stood up and bore false witness against him, saying, "We heard him say, 'I will destroy this temple that is made with hands, and in 3 days I will build another, not made with hands.' Yet even about this their testimony did not agree. And the high priest stood up in the midst and asked Jesus, 'Have you no answer to make? What is it that these men testify against you?' But he remained silent and made no answer. Again the high priest asked him, 'Are you the Christ, the Son of the Blessed?' And Jesus said, 'I am, and you will see the Son of Man seated at the right hand of power and coming with the clouds of heaven.' And the high priest tore his garments and said, 'What further witnesses do we need? You have heard his blasphemy. What is your decision?' And they all condemned him as deserving death. And some began to spit on him, and to cover his face, and to strike him, saying to him, 'Prophesy!' And the guards received him with blows." And as Peter was below in the courtyard, one of the servant girls of the high priest came, and seeing Peter warming himself, she looked at him and said, "You also were with the Nazarene Jesus." But he denied it, saying, "I neither know nor understand what you mean." And he went out into the gateway, and the rooster crowed. And the servant girl saw him and began again to say to the bystanders, "This man is one of them." But again he denied it. And after a little while, the bystanders again said to Peter, "Certainly you are one of them, for you are a Galilean." But he began to invoke a curse on himself and to swear, "I do not know this man of whom you speak." And immediately the rooster crowed a second time. And Peter remembered how Jesus had said to him, "Before the rooster crows twice, you will deny me 3 times. And he broke down and wept.
Okay, now I'm going to go through the devotional on the app. After Jesus had been arrested, Peter followed him from a distance into the high priest's courtyard. Undoubtedly, Peter had strong passions for Jesus. However, when the servant girl of the high priest recognized him as one who belonged to Jesus' company, Peter declined out of fear, and so he hesitated. Then he denied it, and for the third time, he even swore that he did not know Jesus at all. When the cock crowed a second time, Peter was awakened to himself, broke down, and cried. Fear apparently is the major factor that shakes our love for God and gradually destructs our faith in him. In contrast, under the same circumstances, Jesus kept silent in the beginning. Then he proclaimed his identity and the promise of his second coming. In his last phase of the age, In the last phase of the age, let us not be threatened by circumstances. Stand firm on the words of God. Follow Jesus' example to proclaim our faith. God will fulfill his promise. Now I'm going to read from Romans chapter 15, verse 1 to 13. Okay, so Romans chapter 15, verse 1 to 13. We who are strong have an obligation to bear with the feelings of the weak and not to please ourselves. Let each of us please his neighbor for his good to build him up. For Christ did not please himself, as it is written, the reproaches of those who reproached you fell on me. For whatever was written in former days was written for our instruction, that through endurance and through the encouragement of the scriptures, we might have hope. May the God of endurance and encouragement grant you to live in such harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, that together you may with one voice glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, welcome one another as Christ has welcomed you, for the glory of God. For I tell you that Christ has become a servant to the circumcised to show God's truthfulness, in order to confirm the promises given to the patriarchs, and in order that the Gentiles might glorify God for his mercy. As it is written, therefore I will praise you among the Gentiles and sing to your name. And again it is said, rejoice, O Gentiles, with his people. And again, praise the Lord, all you Gentiles, and let all the peoples extol him. And again, Isaiah says, the root of Jesse will come, even he who arises to rule the Gentiles. In him will the Gentiles hope. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing, so that by the power of the Holy Spirit, you may abound in hope. Okay, so we're going into the personal reflection time. So the story the short clip that we saw today was about Peter denying Jesus. This is a story that we are all very familiar with. Peter, probably the most ferocious supporter of Jesus amongst the disciples, actually denied Jesus. Not once, not twice, but three times. If I were to ask you whether this story resonated with you, a lot of you might actually say, no, it does not, because you actually never physically denied Jesus. However, actually, a lot of us deny Jesus all the time. How, you might ask? I'm going to contextualize it for us so that you know what I'm talking about. So, do people around you know that you are a Christian? Whether they be friends, family, co-workers, or just people that you see often, do they know you are a Christian? I'm not saying that you need to have gone out and told everyone that you meet that you are a Christian. Just to be clear, there's absolutely nothing wrong with that. When I ask that question about whether people know you are a Christian, what I'm actually focused on is whether your actions or values demonstrate to people that you are a Christian. I'm just going to let that sit for half a second. If you answer no to that question, then there's no difference to actually denying Jesus. Peter outrightly denied Jesus out of fear. And just because we don't outrightly deny Jesus does not mean that we have not done it. Our decision to not tell or communicate through our actions to others that we are Christians is also another form of denial. And it's often driven out of fear because we don't want the world to judge us. I'm going to spend the remaining of my time talking about being a Christian in the workplace, because that's where I see the most typical denial of Jesus. Even if you're not working, this message will also apply to you. You can look at it from the context of interactions with your friends, your families, or others. So, workplace. Most people separate work and religion. In fact, a lot of people actually think it's taboo. I still remember when I joined my firm 6 years ago, I raised the topic about Christianity to my boss, who incidentally is actually a Christian, and he said not to talk about religion in the workplace. Why? Because there's a fear of talking about religion in the workplace. We are afraid that it might actually stop us from being promoted. We're afraid that it might isolate others. We're afraid that we're going to be judged by others. There's so many reasons that we come up with to basically not talk about work, not talk about Christianity at the workplace. So what happens? most of us become ninja Christians. Yes, I said ninja Christians. We are hidden and not visible to anyone. And I'm not saying this as a critique to others. I myself was a hidden Christian in the workplace before. In fact, I was so well hidden that I still remember years ago, I was in a conversation with a colleague and somehow I mentioned to that colleague that I am a Christian. And lo and behold, I still remember the response that came back. The person was like, "What? You are a Christian?" There was shock and shock written all over the person's face. And, you know, the person didn't actually need to elaborate or say more. I understood what it meant, that I basically wasn't representing God well during that time. And it was not a time that I'm very proud of. So to understand what it means to be a Christian in the workplace, we need to sit back and wonder why God placed us in our companies. God created work, right? So that's something that he wants us to do. So at our workplace, what does he want us to do? Is it simply to acquire new skills, to do our jobs well, to make money? It is all that and more. Work is often the place that we spend the most of our time, sometimes more than with our families. And surely God wants us to make good use of our time. As PSAM says, we are all missionaries performing our roles as teachers, secretaries, doctors, bankers, lawyers, or other professions. God put us at our workplaces because he loves our colleagues and he knows they need to hear the good news. And the good news can come through you and it can come through me. You may ask, why you and me? Because our colleagues are people that God knows can relate to us. Yes, we may be very different in personalities and backgrounds, you might say, but given that we are in the same company, that already gives us equal footing. And the fact that we spend so much time together makes our colleagues a captive audience. These colleagues are likely to be watching you. They're likely to be open to listening to us. And then someone else who's doing something totally different. In fact, we may be one of the few people in their lives who's actually a Christian. And God placed us there specifically to tell our colleagues about who God is. So brothers and sisters, it is not an accident that we are placed in our companies, and it is not an accident that we are placed with those colleagues around us, whether we like them or not. So how do you go about being a Christian in the workplace? I have three very simple points. Number one is we should be the light and salt in the workplace and lead by example. It is great to talk about Christ, but if our actions don't carry his name well, what is the incentive for people to want to follow God? As I highlighted in my earlier comment about what my colleague thought of me, there was absolutely zero incentive for them to follow God because I was just like everyone else. She absolutely didn't know that I was a Christian because I was not following his ways. Your colleague should look at you as someone who with integrity and honesty. They should also wonder to themselves, why is this person so loving? Why is this person so optimistic? Why is this person so calm under pressure? Why is this person doing well? Or any other questions that make them ponder whether there's some special power operating inside you. Jesus says to judge people based on their fruits. And hopefully the way we are at work should produce those fruits for others to experience. Number two is we should excel at our work because that's what we are paid to do. Yes, brothers and sisters, we are paid to do our work, so we need to do it well. You know, I always come across a lot of Christians that think work is just something that is a chore. No, God put us at work and God wants us to excel at work. Okay, so in all we do, we should give our best. Colossians chapter 3, verse 23 says, whatever you do your work heartily, as for the Lord rather than for men. No matter the workplace, we are first and foremost working for an audience of one. And when we work in such a way, we build a foundation of witness to those around us. And the last point is that we should make our identity known as Christians to those around us and seek to minister to our colleagues if given the opportunity. You will be surprised how many of your colleagues are looking for a higher power to cling on to as life drags them down? And a lot of them don't know Christ, or they would be curious about Christianity. So look for ways to speak into their lives. My colleagues, they know I'm a Christian. And the truth is, sometimes I do get made fun of being a Christian at work. But that's really not very common, I would say. And the people that actually do it, I feel they do it more because they are curious rather than trying to hurt. On the other hand, I've had many people ask me about the faith. I've had the privilege to pray and minister to both Christian and non-Christian colleagues that might be going through difficulties or challenges, and it means a lot to them. The workplace is often cold, and people like to feel like they need to protect themselves. So seeing someone who's able to love on them, to be honest with them, without reservations, often soften their hearts. And trust me, it is not through my ability that I'm able to do this. It's because of God's strength. And I know God will use you to love on your colleagues and those around you as well. Brothers and sisters, there are many people out there who don't know who Jesus Christ is. So let's not be hidden Christians. Let's make him known to others and share the good news. And you will see God use you to touch the lives of those around you. So as P-Nate leads us in worship, I would like us to think about those around us, whether in our workplaces, our friends, our families, whoever they may be, and just how much God loves them. God wants them to get to know him. And maybe you are the person to tell them about who God is. So let's worship.
Savior, say, thy strength indeed is small. Child of weakness, watch and pray. Find in me thine all in all. Jesus paid it white as snow. Sin sin stain, he washed it white as snow.
Thank you, Pinate. So I'll just pray the prayer from the app. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we pray for domestic helpers and those who work in our society for the principal reason of supporting their families overseas. Give them dignity and help us to provide an open arms to them in tough circumstances when they miss their families. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So let's move on to the community prayers. First, let's pray for friends and family who are suffering from cancer or undergoing chemo, radiation therapy, and surgery. Let's pray for God's supernatural healing power to come and heal our friends and family. Let's pray. Let's pray for those who are having illnesses and also need to receive the word of salvation. Let's pray for God to heal them, but more importantly, for God to touch them. Let's pray for those who are suffering from infirmities, whether big or small. Let's ask God to put his healing hand to touch them and heal them. Let's pray for our friends and family who are looking for work. Pray for open doors, pray for God to sustain them during this time. Today, let's lift up Hong Kong. Let's pray for the government, the wealth gap. Pray for a revival to come. The churches, sports services, international, Shanti, YWAM, and Sons and Daughters, Stan Asia, Mother's Choice, the Hong Kong Korean Church, the students, domestic helpers, and also families in distress. Let's lift them up. Let's pray for the staff. Let's pray for their families as well. Let's pray for unity. Let's pray for love. And pray for God to use them powerfully for the betterment of our church. Let's pray for our hospitality ministries led by Welcoming, which is led by P. Andrew, and Barista, that is led by Ashley. Let's pray for all the volunteers and as well. Let's pray for our worship ministry led by P-Nate, sound ministry led by Conrad, and the AV team, which is led by P. Kenny. Let's pray for the volunteers in those ministries as well. Let's close in prayer. So Father Lord, thank you for today's message. Thank you for the reminder that, you know, that we shouldn't be, deny you, Lord. I repent on behalf of myself as well as for others, that, you know, for the times that we deny you, whether in our workplaces, in our lives, and basically in different aspects of things that we do. Lord, help us to be that light and salt wherever we are to those around us. And Lord, I just ask for you to deposit the love that you have for us so that we can love those around us. Help us as we go through this day and the rest of the week. May we really be that light to those around us. Be with us and use us powerfully. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Thank you for joining. See ya. Have a good day.